Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasa daf Nun Vav. We are holding on daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We are at Aval L'Shabbis Lo, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page. At the beginning of the line, Teishir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, Nisham Shav Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely, and also by Chani and J.J. Hornblast, in memory of Chani's father, Mayor Penstein, Mayor Yosef Ben Avraham, who I'm not sure if his yard site is today or was yesterday, but either way, he was Echad Mibnei HaChabura. He was a participant in this year and a good friend of ours, and his Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We miss him dearly, and we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to talk about in today's daf is that we have mentioned the possibility or the idea that that shrubbery is mafsik between two different fields, forms a boundary between two different fields, legabe the dinim of kinyan chazaka, and legabe the dinim of peya, and legabe the dinim of tuma. So now we're going to talk about what about legabe the dinim of hotza'a b'shabbes. Is if a person is motzi a chatzi grogros to one field and a chatzi grogros to the other side of the fence, the other side of the shrubbery, is that considered that he was did hotza'a of a grogros shalem, of a full grogros? So we're going to have that discussion legabe hotza'a and two fields that are divided by some shrubbery. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, okay, we've been talking about if there's a border, if there's some physical boundary between two fields, so whether they're considered two separate fields. What if there's no physical boundaries? Is it just limitless? They could have an entire bikkah full of fields, and we're going to say, one shovel in the ground, and now the whole bikkah belongs to you? Or is there some sort of limit in terms of what's called a single field versus what's called many different fields that just happen to not have a physical boundary between them? Sometimes, you have next door neighbors that in between their backyards they have nice fences, and sometimes they just leave it open. They don't, it doesn't bother them. But you're going to say that it's all considered one property, even though there's no physical barrier there, but it's obviously separate property. So how do we determine what's a separate property and what's the same property? That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion. When we talk about this shrubbery, the Gemara is going to say, oh, that's the same kind of shrubbery that Yoshua used to divide between the nachlos of the different shvatim. So the Gemara is going to define the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and specifically identify three places in Eretz Yisrael that don't have the full status of all the mitzvos hatuluyos ba'aretz. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens when Eidei Chazaka become Eidim Zomimin. What exactly do they have to pay? And what if it's not just two Eidim that are being made about 3 years, but it's two Eidim being made about year one, another two Eidim about year two, another two Eidim about year three, and then we complicate matters if you have one Eid being made about 3 years, and then you have three other Eidim about 1 year each, and all three of those are brothers, right? How does that play out in terms of Eidim Zomimin? But it's all about Eidei Chazaka becoming Eidim Zomimin, and that leads the Gemara into a discussion of the concept of Davar Velo Chatzi Davar, that when a person, when a set of Eidim issues Eidus, it has to be Eidus of the entire Eidus. It cannot be that you have two sets of Eidim, each one being made about a Chatzi Davar. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about what the parameters of Davar Velo Chatzi Davar are. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if you have Eidei Chazaka, but the two Eidei Chazaka contradict each other, meaning you have two Eidim that this guy was Achal Gimel Shanim, but one of them says, yeah, I saw him eat wheat from the field every day for Gimel Shanim, and the other one says, yeah, I saw him have barley from the field every day for Gimel Shanim. So is that considered a valid Eidus when the Eidei Chazaka themselves, they're each testifying something that would make it a Chazaka, but there are contradictions in the details of their Eidus? Is that going to be considered Eidei Chazaka? So let's begin 5 lines from the end of the page. Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. Aval l'Shabbos lo Rav Amar afilu l'inyan Shabbos. So we have a machlokas amarayim, whether when it comes to Shabbos, the first one is the Aval l'Shabbos lo is the Gemara is being medayik in Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan had said that when you have a meitzar chatzav, you have the shrubbery between two fields, so it's considered two separate fields for peya and for tuma. Rabbi Yochanan said, so we're being medayik that Rabbi Yochanan must hold that it's not considered two separate fields, legabe Shabbos. And Rava disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rava says it's considered two separate fields, legabe Shabbos as well. What halacha of Shabbos does this relate to? Titania, we have a brisa that tells us as follows. Hotzi chatzi grogeres l'rishos sarabim, if a person carries out to a rishos sarabim from a rishos siyachin, the shear of food that equals a half of a grogeres, it doesn't have to be dafka, an actual half of a grogeres, it could be any food in the amount of a half a grogeres, v'inicha, and he places that down in a rishos sarabim. V'chazer v'hotzi chatzi grogeres acheres, and then he goes and he takes another a half a grogeres shear of food, behelemech, and he puts that down in Rosh Hashanah, but all in one period of forgetfulness, meaning the reason he did this was either he forgot that it was Shabbos or he forgot that there was an Isser called Hotza'ah, and he did not remember in between, bringing the first Chatzi Grogeres and the second Chatzi Grogeres. So Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv Chatos, because if there was no Yediyah in between that it was Shabbos or that this Malacha was Aser, it's not Mechalik between the two actions that he did. The two actions are combined and they're considered one action, and therefore he did a Malacha Kishir. The halacha is you're only chayiv if you carry out a Dover Chashuv. A Dover Chashuv, when it comes to Michael, is considered a Shir Grogeres, and he did carry out a Shir Grogeres. But Bishnei Alemos, if he forgot, if he remembered in between, it was two periods of forgetfulness. So in between, he remembered it was Shabbos, and then he forgot again, and then he carried out the second Chatzi Grogeres, then Potter. Then he's going to be Potter, because that Yediyah that he had, that moment of recognition that he had in between splits up, it divides these two actions, and each of these two actions is pachos mikashir, and is not going to be enough to be mechayiv him. This is assuming, like the shita of the Rabbanan Masech Shabbos Taf Kufei, that yesh yediyah lechatzi shir, that a yediyas iser is enough to divide up, even when the yediyah was only about a chatzi shir. Meaning, this is certainly true. This halacha would certainly be true that a yediyah in between would divide, would split up an action into two actions if each action was a full shear. I mean, if he took out a grogeres achas and then he took out another grogeres achas, so if it was one period of forgetfulness, he's only going to be chayiv one chatos. But if it was two periods of forgetfulness, he had a yediyah in between, he's going to be chayiv two chatos. So that's certainly true. But as far as a chatzi and a chatzi, that's machlokas whether a yediyah of a chatzi shear is considered a yediyah. So our gemara is obviously assuming that yes, it is a yediyah of a chatzi shear. Is considered a yediyah and is therefore going to be mechalek between them. That's the point the Yad Ramah makes and Rashi Maseches Krisos makes, right? That's the presumption of our Gemara. None of that really relates to our topic yet, meaning we're trying to discuss whether a field that's divided by shrubbery, two fields divided by shrubbery, are considered two properties. So far, we haven't spoken about two properties. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Behelem Echad, Birishus Achas Chayiv. Rabbi Yossi is the one that brings up that topic. And Rabbi Yossi says, look, if you took a Chatzi Grogeres to Rosh HaSarabim, and then you went back and you took another Chatzi Grogeres to the same Rosh HaSarabim, then yes, you're going to be Chayiv. But, Bishtei Rishuyos, Pater. But if you took a Chatzi Grogeres to one Rosh HaSarabim, and then, still not realizing it's Shabbos, you took a Chatzi Grogeres to another Rosh HaSarabim, then you're going to be Pater. Those are considered two separate acts of Hotza'ah. They are not mitztarif with each other. Oh, so now I understand the machlokas between Rava and Ravin's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, that whether shrubbery in between two fields is considered to make it two separate fields, legabe hilchos Shabbos. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, legabe hilchos Shabbos makes a difference. If I take a chatzi grogeres to one side of the shrubbery and a chatzi grogeres to the other side of the shrubbery, am I chayiv? Is it considered one field, or is that considered a division between the two fields? Now, the Rishonim raised the question that there is a sugi in Shabbos Tavkuf Talaram Beis that if a person does the malacha of kosev, so the malacha of kosev is to write shtei osios, to write two letters. Let's say a person writes one letter in Tveria and another letter in Tzipori. So the Gemara says chayiv mishum kosev shtei osios, because the fact that the two letters are nowhere near each other does not change your Malachas Kosev one bit. So the Rishonim say, well, wait a second. The fact that they're nowhere near each other still makes it Kosev. It doesn't change the Malacha of Kosev. Why should it change the Malacha of Hotza'ah? So there are a number of Rishonim. The quote from the Rabbeinu Chananel is the originator of this, that it's not that we have to change the Lashon of our Gemara. That the Gemara doesn't mean to say Bishtei Rishuyos Pater. The Gemara means to say Mishtei Rishuyos Pater. That yes, wherever the Malacha lands, wherever the result of the Malacha is, it could be the two halves of the Malacha are in different ends of the world, and you're still going to be Chayiv, just like Kosev Osachas B'Tveri and Osachas B'Tzipori. But the point of origin has to be the same. And the point of origin was on one side of the shrubbery for a Chatzi Grogros, and on the other side of the shrubbery for a Chatzi Grogros. That's the point that Rabbi Yossi is making. That is the explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel, the girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel, the way the Rishonim explain it. However, Tosos quotes from the Ri on Daf Nunheim Beis that no, there's a big difference between the Malacha of Kosev and the Malacha of Hotza'ah. By Ksiva, the Malacha is Ksiva. If you wrote two letters very far apart from each other, you did a Malacha of Ksiva. But Hotza'ah, the Malacha is called Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah means you brought it to a Rishus. That's the definition of the Malacha. The location is the whole definition of the Malacha, right? Meaning that's critical to the definition of Malacha. So I borrow from this Rishus to that Rishus. By Ksiva, there's no din in Rishus. It's just about, did I form letters? So I don't care where the letters were formed, but by Kosev, where it is certainly very, very critical. So the Gemara now tells us that there's a machlokas, there are three shitos in Amoraim about what's considered a hefsik, legabe splitting a Rishus harabim into to shtei Rishuyos, according to Rabbi Yossi. The third shita is going to be the shita of Rava over here that made or v'chatzav are enough, that a border or a shrubbery is enough to divide something into shtei rishuyos. V'yama rabba v'hu sheyesh chiyuv chatas b'neihem. When does Rabbi Yossi say your pater for taking a chatzi grogos to one rishuyos and another chatzi grogos to another rishuyos? That's if those rishuyos are divided by having a mamish or rishuyos hayachid in between them, a real bona fide rishuyos hayachid, where if you were to carry from either one of those rishuyos harabim into this area in between them, you'd for sure be chayiv. So it has to be a real significant Rishus HaYachid in between them. Aval, Carmelis lo. But if that which divided these two Rishuyos HaRabim was only a Carmelis, and a Carmelis, you're not going to be chayiv for carrying from Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis, or from carrying from Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis. Carmelis on a Daraisa level is a Makom Ptur. So if there's only a Carmelis in between these two properties, then they are not considered to be two separate properties. Abaye Amar Afilu Carmelis. Abaye is Shita number two. He says even a Carmelis is considered to be a Hefsek between these two properties. Aval Pislo low. But if all you have is a piece of wood or a pillar that's 10 tefachim high or less than 10 tefachim high and that is less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, then that's not considered a hefsek between the two properties because it's not a makom chashuv of 4 by 4 tefachim and it's a makom ptur. And even midrabanan you're allowed to carry from the Rishus HaRabim to this area. So if the area in between the two fields is not only is it not a Rishus HaYah, it's not even Rosh Hashanah midrabanan. On a drabanan level, it's even a makom patur. Then it's not going to be mafsik between the two properties. Rav Elchanan struggles with, well, wait a second, why would the fact that something is a karmelis on a daraisa level is a makom patur? So when I'm talking about whether these are two separate fields and whether I'm going to be chayiv chatas for carrying chatzi grogos to one and chatzi grogos to the other, why would drabanan definitions of Rishuyos make an impact on this halacha? On a daraisa level, this karmelis is a makom patur, so it should have the same din as if there's an actual makom patur in between the two fields. Why would a karmelis be any different than a makom patur? How do we explain the shita of Rabba that karmelis lo, that a karmelis is not going to be? I'm sorry, the shita of Abai that a karmelis will be a division, but a makom patur is not a division. A karmelis is just a makom patur. So he says that Abaye must hold that from the fact that the Rabbanon Aser a Carmelis it tells us that even on a daraisa level, it's considered a chashiva place. It may not have a chashivos legabe carrying to it, or carrying, but on some level, midaraisa must have a chashivos to it. And that's where the Rabbanan had to have some sort of opening. The Rabbanan had to have some sort of indication in order to make a new iser that you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis. So it must be that they viewed a Carmelis because the Torah already views the Carmelis as having some chashivos. Legabe what halacha does it have some chashivos? So Abaye would say, oh, legabe the halacha, that it would be a chashiv enough spot, a chashiv enough location to divide between two separate fields. And that's Abaye's din. But then Rava Amar, Rava's shita is afilu pisla, that even a pisla can be mechalik between one rishos and the next, because it's no different than a meitzar and a chatzav. And Rava said that meitzar and chatzav, that if you have shrubbery between the two fields, that's enough to divide the two fields. So that is Shitas Rava, which is exactly what we've been saying, that Rava holds that shrubbery divides between two separate rishuyos, between two separate fields. Va'asta Rava l'tameh. And this, that Rava says, that chatzav is mafsik legabe Shabbos, is Rava l'shitaso. D'yama Rava rishus Shabbos, k'rishus gittin dami. Because Rava says that the rishuyos of Shabbos have very similar halachos to the halachos of rishuyos when it comes to gittin. In Maseches Gittin, on Daf Ayin Zayin and Beis, we say that if a woman is in her husband's chatzar, and the husband lends her a makom in his chatzar, in order for her to be able to be kona the get through that makom. So the husband is then zorek the get, and it lands on a pisla in his chatzar. So the halacha is ein megureshes, because we assume that he's mashila a rishus, an area in his chatzar to be kona the get, but not shtei rishuyos, not shtei mekomos. So he only he was not mashil her the pistla, because the pistla is considered its own separate rishus. So the get landed in the husband's rishus, not in the wife's rishus. So Rava says that just like by gittin, the pistla is considered its own independent location, and therefore it's not bata legabe the chatzar. So too, when it comes to Shabbos, it's not a rishus b'fnei atzma, and therefore it does not divide. It's even though it's not a rishus b'fnei atzma, it's not misbatel to the rishus rabim. It's considered a makom chashuv and its own right, and it's mechalekes the two rishios. It does have the ability to divide the two rishios, because even a pisla is considered a separate spot, a separate location, an independent location, even though it doesn't really have genuine chashiv. But it's enough to divide between two rishuyos. So that is all Rava l'tameh. So all of this was if you have shrubbery between two fields. What if you don't have anything? It's just open land. So says Gemara, Ein sham lo meitzav lo chatzav mai. What if there's no meitzav, there's no chatzav? So what would Rabbi Yochanan say? How are you? How do I define what's considered one field and what's considered the next field? So Pirush Rabbi Merinus Mishmo. Rabbi Merinus explains in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol shenikra al Shemo, if it's called one field by this owner's name, that the people call it Sada Shalploni and they don't call it Sados Shalploni, the Rashbam explains. If they say, oh, that's that guy's field, they don't say those are that guy's fields. As long as they don't say it in the plural, then you know it's all one field. Say, hey, chidami, when would be considered one field that's called Al Shemo? Amra Papa de Karile Begargusa de Planya. That people call this field the field that he's mashke from his bar. So since he's mashke it from a single bar, it's mitzarif it to be called a single field, and therefore he's kona it in its entirety. That's how the Rashbam understands. Rabbeinu Chananel says that gargusa is a bar that you're mashke from, and you're kona the entire field when you're mashke that entire area from a single bar. And the reason is that if there were multiple boros, each bar would have its own chashivos, and you'd only be kona the field that bar is mashka, because through the chazaka of being mashka from that bar. The Drisha writes that that's what the Rashbam means. However, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Zechiyah Matana Perek Aleph Halach Yud Gimel, the Rambam simply says, if you have a large area with lots of fields in it, v'kulan shel ger echad, and they all belong to the same ger, and the ger dies and he doesn't have any relatives, and you want to be kona those properties, Kol hanikra al sheim oso hager kona oso. Whatever is called by the name of that ger, you are kona. And he doesn't mention anything about being mashke from a bar. He just says a large bika. As long as it's called by the name of that ger, you're kona. So the Ravid says he forgot the whole Gemara over here. The Gemara struggles with when is it what's called al shemo, what's not called al shemo. And the Gemara says that it's all about the bar, that it's all about being mashke. So the Ravid either had a different girsa or a different understanding of what Rav Papa is saying over here, because the Ravid jumps all over him. He says, you forgot Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that it's the Karle Gargusa de Planya. So that's a difficulty in the Shitas HaRambam. Yosef Ravach Bar Avya Kamed Rabbi Asi V'yosef V'kamer Meshmed Rabbi Asi Bar Chanina Chatsuva Mafsik B'nichse Ager. So Rav Asi, and he was saying the name Rav Asi Bar Chanina, that if you have shrubbery, it's Mafsik in Ger's property to make it like two separate fields. And if you're Machsik in one side of the shrubbery, it is not a kinyan on the other side of the shrubbery, of the field that's on the other side of the shrubbery. My chatsuva, what is chatsav? Why do we consider that to be a hefsik between one field and the next? Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Shapotichem Yoshua Yisrael Asaretz. It's a famous bush because that's the bush that they would use to the shrubbery that they would use, that Yoshua used to divide up the different sections of Eretz Yisrael, the different nachlos of Eretz Yisrael. So that's what chatsav is. In the Sefer Kos Yeshuas, he says, why did we wait till now to ask my chatsuva? We've been talking about this for a while, this idea of chatsav. And furthermore, he says, Rav Yehuda doesn't even answer the question. We ask, what's chatsav? And he says, it's the stuff Yoshua used. How am I supposed to know what stuff Yoshua used? It's been a long time since Yoshua divided up the nachlos of Eretz Yisrael. How am I going to know what stuff Yoshua used? So the Sefer Kos Yeshuas says that the Shaul, when he saw that Rabbi Yochanan said, ha-chatzav, and Rabasi Rabbi Chanina said, chatsuva, he said, wait, we've been talking about ha-chatzav until this point. Now you say chatsuva. Is that the same thing? Are they the same thing? And he answered, yeah, it's the same thing. Ha-chatzav is with a hey ha-yadiya. And the reason we call it ha-chatzav is because this has historical importance. So it was called with the hey ha-yadiya because this was the stuff Yoshua used. So that's why we call it with the hey ha-yadiya. But the shorish is the same because it's referring to the same thing. So that's really the conversation over here, that we just wanted to know, is chatsuva and ha-chatzav the same thing? And the answer is yes. And the reason we call it ha-chatzav with the hey ha-yadiya is to allude to its history as the item that was used by Yoshua to divide the different sections of Eretz Yisrael. Once we're on the topic of dividing Eretz Yisrael, v'amar v'idom rav, l'mani Yoshua elei yaros ha'omdos al gvulin, that if you learn Sefer Yoshua and try to figure out what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are, you should know that he doesn't list every city in Eretz Yisrael. He only lists in Sefer Yoshua the border town, so you can know what the tchum is. The Tosfos points out, the Sharan points out, doesn't mean the towns on the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. It means the borders between the Shvatim. And Tosfos says, I can prove it to you because some of the cities that are mentioned in Sefer Yoshua are smack in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, it's not a border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, but that wasn't obvious to everyone. Rabbeinu Gershom understands that no, it means the borders of Eretz Yisrael, between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, not the borders between the Shvatim. And the Ritva writes the same thing, that it's that which is outside of the borders that Yoshua mentions are Chutz La'aretz the Kol Dover, says the Ritva. Aye, what about the fact that Tosfos points out that in Sefer Yoshua there are certain cities that are mentioned that are very clearly right in the center of Eretz Yisrael? So the Yafei Einayim says that yes, he does mention certain cities that are Be'emtza Aretz. Those are the cities that are Mukafos Choma. So those that have a very, very strong border, he mentions those separately. But other than that, every other city that he mentions is only on a border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So once we talk about the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, let's discuss which cities of Eretz Yisrael have a full din of Eretz Yisrael, gabe all the mitzvos atliyos ba'aretz, and which ones don't. Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, Kol Shero Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, any place in Eretz Yisrael that Kodesh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu as he was dying is Chayiv B'Meiser, is going to be Chayiv in the mitzvah of Meiser. That's the Eretz Shivas Ha'amim that they conquered when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Lafuke Mai, which cities in Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Yehuda coming to be Mema'et that was not shown to Moshe Rabbeinu and therefore is not going to be Chayiv in Meiser? Lafuke Kin kini knizi v'kadmoni. It's coming to exclude the kini knizi v'kadmoni, which was part of what was promised to Avram Avinu during the Bris Ben Abasarim. That's there are 10 nations who owned lands that were promised to Avram Avinu, but when we conquered Eretz Yisrael, it was the Zainam, and we only conquered the land of 7 nations. The extra 3, that's coming la'asilavo. So there's more property that we're going to conquer, la'asilavo, that we didn't conquer in the days of Yeshua, and those 3 places are do not have a chiyuv of maestros. Only in the 7 do we have a chiyuv of maestros. Now, l'chora, Shmuel should have said that the gvulos are based on what it says in Parshas Masai, where the Torah goes through the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Why does he have to be told it on that which Moshe Rabbeinu saw, as opposed to that which it says in Parshas Masai? So Tosfos raises this question. L'chsam Sofer suggests that we're dafka tolid in that which Moshe Rabbeinu saw, because the psukim in Parshas Masai are not necessarily a raya that the kini, knizi, and kadmoni are not going to be chayiv in maisur la'asilavo. Because it could be that, yes, those 3 areas are not mentioned in Parshas Masai, because we're only mentioning in Parshas Masai that which Yeshua is supposed to conquer. Zos ha'aretz asher tisnachelu osa begor. Right, this is what you're going to conquer, what you're going to inherit right now. But that which was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu was whatever Moshe Rabbeinu had a taiva for, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Sotah Daf Yudal, tells us, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want so badly to go into Eretz Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, you're interested in Eretz Yisrael. You're a good guy. Everything you did, what you're supposed to do. And there's a he needed to eat at the good restaurants in Eretz Yisrael. He needed to enjoy the nice sights of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the mitzvah satlius baretz. He was never able to be mafresh maestros. Ooh, so now I know that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu saw is going to be chayv maestros. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see is not going to be chayv maestros. That I wouldn't have known just from the psukim and parshas Masai, because that's just about what you're getting right now. That was practical. From Moshe Rabbeinu was about the Chiv Maestros. Oh, so now I know that these 3 areas are Takapata from Maestros, because that was obviously the interest of Moshe Rabbeinu. What are these 3 areas? So that's a Machlokas Tanayim, a 3-way Machlokas. Tanya Rameir Omer, that the Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni are Naftucha, Arva'a, V'Salma'a. Those are the three areas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harseir, Ammon and Moab. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ardiskis, Asya v'Aspamya. Those are the, so 3 different opinions, what exactly those 3 areas that we're going to be able to conquer, Las Lavo, that we have not yet conquered or we did not yet conquer in the days of Yoshua bin Nun. Okay, so now we move on to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah discusses what happens when Edei Chazaka become Edim Zomim. So Yishnayim Edim Al Sosha Chalo Shaloshanim. If let's say you have 2 Edim that say, we saw this guy in the field for 3 years and therefore he has a Chazaka, he doesn't need a Shtar, and Bezin is Maim the field in his issues of Psak Din, that the guy who had the chazaka is the rightful owner of the field, and then Vinim Tzuzomim, and then it turns out 2 other Edim came and say that you, first Edim, could not possibly know that this guy was machzik in that field because for those entire three years, you were with us in a different location and you had no access to these fields. So Misham lo asa kol. So the Edim, the original Edim, who became Edim Zomin, now have to pay the real Balakarka, the entire value of the Karka that they tried to be mafsid in. They were trying to make him lose that Karka, and that's what you do. You Edim Zomin pay Kasha Zomim last. Exactly what they tried to do to the other party. Tosrud points out that even if they were huzam on only 1 of the 3 years of what they testified about, they still have to pay kolakarka because you need all 3 in order to have a chazaka. So that's enough to ruin the edus, and therefore they're still going to have to pay the entire amount. The Rush says that the Chiddush of the Tanna, when it says Meshalman es Hakol, is that they pay not only the Karka, but the Peros, they wanted to be Mafsid, the Balakarka. Meaning the Balakarka, let's say, brings Edim, other Edim that are made, how much Peros there was in these fields, but someone who's Machzik Vishtei Shanim, meaning without a Chazaka, and the fee that Edos, the Machzik has to pay the Demea Peros. So it turns out that the Edim Zomim wanted to be Mafsid, the Balakarka, that amount of Peros, so they have to pay that as well. the Ritva and the Rashba say that that's not true. That you don't have to pay, that if let's say it was 2 years of Chazaka, that you only pay the Peros of Shtei Shanim, you're not Mishalim as Hakol. Meaning, but you have to say that Hakol means that in the end of the Mishnah, if there were three, is coming, the word Hakol is coming to include the case in the end of the Mishnah of three Kitei Edim, where you're Mishalshlim Beneim, where each one pays a portion of. So over here we're saying Mishalman as Hakol, that there's no division of it, it's only two Edim that testified about the whole thing, so they're Mishalim all of it, as opposed to what we're going to see at the end of the Mishnah. Let's say you have Shnayim Barishon, Shnayim Bashniya, Ushnayim Bashlishis. You have two Edim that testify about the first year, two Edim that testify about the second year, and two Edim that testify about the third year, but these are three sets of Edim, and then they all turn out to be Edim Zomimin, so Mishalshal Meneihem. Your Mishalshal, each one pays one third of the value of the Karka, because each one did one third of the job of being Mafsid, the guy, this karka. Torah Chaim says that the chiddush is that each set does not have to pay kol karka, because without the edus of each one, there wouldn't have been a chazaka. So maybe you would think that that's enough to have to pay kol karka. Tosus points out wait a second, can't each of these guys say, I never testified about a chazaka? I never said this guy had a chazaka. I said he was there for 1 year. How was I supposed to know that was going to lead to a chazaka? You need other sets of edim in order to make a chazaka. So Tosus says, don't ask the kasha that the Eidei Kasha, Shana Rishona and Shana Shnia should not have to pay because they didn't know that there was going to be a third kasha that comes and says about a third year. They were, and therefore they weren't trying to be mafsid the karka, they were only trying to be mafsid the peiros. He says, because over here, the machzik brought them all to the Beis Din. Why do you think he's bringing you to the Beis Din? It must be that you're there to be made the tovaso and to say that to be mamed the karka biyado and not to be mechayiv him peiros. Meaning, if he doesn't have a chazaka, you're working against him, right? For you to say, oh, he ate all the wheat from that field for that year. If that's not going to help him have a chazaka, then he's just going to owe a lot of money for all the wheat that he ate for that year. Why on earth would he bring you to Beis Din to say something against him? Obviously, you should have realized that you're part of his Eidos Chazaka, and therefore a person is going to be responsible for that. He cannot claim that he didn't realize that he was part of the Eidos Chazaka. The Rimigash and the Yad Ramah say, no, it's more obvious, meaning the Eidim are signaling to each other. It's clear that the case must be that it's clear they're in cahoots with each other, that they're all cooperating with each other. And that's why they can't claim that they didn't know. A third case in the Mishnah, so again, the first case was two Edim about all 3 years. Second case was two Edim year one, two Edim year two, two Edim year three. Third case, Shlosha Achim, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Ve'echad mitztarif imayim, and then you have another aid about all 3 years. Let's say the aid of Moshe is testifying about all 3 years. Reuven testifies about year one, Shimon testifies about year two, Levi testifies about year three. Sarelu Shalosh Eduyos, that's considered three separate Eduyos. In that, it's a kasher Edus, meaning it's Edus Chazaka. We don't say, oh, this is Karav Apostle, Nimtzachonim Karav Apostle. No, because the whole idea of Karav Apostle is that when you have Krovim, we view all the Krovim as if they are one aid. Over here, if you'd view all the brothers as if they are one aid, perfect. So now you have two Edim. You have Moshe, who testified about all 3 years. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are viewed as one aid for all 3 years. So good, you have Edi Chazaka. But they need the Sachas Azama. But when it comes to Azama, they're considered Edus Achas, and therefore, if they become Huzam, the din is that the brothers pay half of the value of the Karka. Each one pays one-sixth of the value of the Karka, and the other aid pays the other half of the value of the Karka, and they cannot become Edim Zomim until you're Mazim Es Kulam. It's all Edus Achas in order to be Mazim them. So says Gemara Masnisin, our Mishnah that assumes that the three sets of Edim, that each one is made about a year that the guy had the property, is all considered one chazaka, and they're all mitztarif to an edus of chazaka, is delok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah seems to assume against Rabbi Akiva. Titania, Am Rabbi Yossi, kishahalach Abba Chalafta, etzal Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lilmul Torah, when Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi says, went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah, so Abba Chalafta, the Rashbam points out, Rabbi Yossi's father's name was Chalafta, that Stam Rabbi Yossi in Shas is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. Chalafta. So that's why the Chorim are bothered. How can he call him Abba Chalafta? After all, doesn't the Gemara in Kiddushin tell us that when someone is courting their father, they should say Abba Mori, and they should not refer to them by the name if his father's name was Chalafta? So it's Halacha Mefureshes in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to call him by his name. So in the Sefer Manalashon, he says that Biosi obviously referred to him as Abba. The Gemara is just filling us in who his Abba was. So the Gemara is telling us that's an editor's addition to the Gemara that his name was Chalafta. However, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Sim Reishman Beis Paskins that while it's true you're not allowed to call your Rebbe by his name, but if you say Rebbe Mori Ploni, it's mutter. So you can't say his first name Stam, and that's how you can't refer to your Rebbe like that. But you can refer to him as Rebbe Mori and then say his first name. So that you're allowed to do. So if your Rebbe was Rav Moshe Feinstein, can't call him Moshe, but you can call him Rav Moshe, because that's and the Gra says, and the same is true for a father. And he says, just like we have, the Gra writes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, just like Abba Chalafta, the Rabbi Yossi quotes Abba Chalafta. So he uses this as the Raya, that as long as you add a title, that's going to be Mutter. The Yamshel Shlomo thinks not that way. Yamshel Shlomo says that no, it's only for a Rebbe that you could say his name as long as you add a title, because without saying his name, no one's going to know who your Rebbe is. But everyone knows who your father is. A father is a father. So there's a natural, more natural connection. But anyway, that's not the point over here in the Gemara. So he quotes, Va'amri la Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri yetzal Abba Chalafta l'mal Torah. Some say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri that went to Abba Chalafta to learn Torah. Amr lo, Harei Shachal Shon Rishon B'fnei Shnayim, Shniya B'fnei Shnayim, Shlishas B'fnei Shnayim, Mahu. What if a person has each year of Chazaka in front of two separate Eidim? So Amr lo, Harei Zu Chazaka. So he said, that's a good Chazaka. Amr lo, Afani Omer came. Yeah, I thought so too, he said. Elish Rabbi Kiva Cholik B'tavar Zabishno. Rabbi Kiva disagrees and holds that it's not a good Chazaka. Shahai Rabbi Kiva Omer, Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. Rabbi Kiva thinks this is an application of the drasha of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. The pasuk says Al Pishnei Edim O Al Pishlosha Edim Yakum Davar. That Edus has to be on a full Davar, and if you have one set of Edim in year one, one set of Edim in year two, one set of Edim in year three, each set of Edim is only on a Chatzi Davar, and therefore it's an invalid Edus. V'Rabbanan Hai Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar May Avdilei. What do the Rabbanan do with Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar? How do they darshan that? Which Edus are they modus possible because of Chatzi Davar? Meaning, if the Rabbanan are going to say that Edim on year one, Edim on year two, Edim on year three are all Mitzdarev, what exactly is Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar? What exactly is excluded by Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar? So, maybe you're going to come tell me it excludes a case where Echad Omer Achas Begaba, Ve'echad Omer Achas Bekresa, where you have two Edim that want to testify about the godless of a particular person, that this woman is a Gedola, that she's no longer a Katana. So one of them says, we saw Sa'ara Achas Begaba. And the other one says, no, we saw Sa'ara Achas Bekresa. So between the two Edim, you have Edus of two hairs. So, Hai Chatzi Davar V'Chatzi Edusi. That's not just a Chatzi Davar, it's a Chatzi Edus, meaning neither of them are being made that she's a Gedola, because one hair is a mole, one hair does not make a person a Gedola. Elo Lemute, it's coming to exclude Shnayim Omrim Achas Begaba, Ushnayim Omrim Achas Bekresa. That if you have two Edim that say Achas Begaba, and two Edim that say Achas Bekresa, so each one, each set of Edim is being made on a Chatzi Davar. If it's one Ed that's Bekresa, one Ed that's Begaba, so then it's a Chatzi Edus, beside from being a Chatzi Davar, so that it suffers two shortcomings. It's not only Chatzi Davar, it's a Chatzi Edus as well. But if it's two Edim on each of the hairs, then it's not a Chatzi Edus, but it's a Chatzi Davar that they're being made about. So that's the case of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Echad Omer Achal Chitim, Echad Omer Achal Sa'orim, Harezu Chazaka. If one guy says, yeah, for 3 years we saw him eating Chitim, and the other one says, for 3 years I saw him eating Sa'orim, so that's still considered Edei Chazaka. Even though they're testifying about different things, it's a contradiction. So Maskev Rav Nachman, Ela Me'ata, if that's the case, Echad Omer Achal Rishon Shlish Chamishas, Echad Omer Achal Would you say that if one guy said years 1, 3, and 5 he ate from the field, the other one says years 2, 4, and 6, that's also a chazaka? Why is that any different? It's totally different. Because in that case, the year that one of them was testifying about, the other one wasn't testifying about. They weren't testifying about it. There was no overlap in the years that they were testifying about. Hachatz Ravai b'chadashat kamasadi. But over here, they're both testifying. Both Edom are testifying about the same years. They're just disagreeing with each other about what exactly the land was producing during those years. So says Mar Michael and Meimar, what svara is there that the edels should not work in such a case? Because they're machtish each other. Because one of them is saying chitim and the other one is saying saorim. Nah, that's not a hachasha. Bein chitim the sari lava datayu de inshi. I would bet if I brought in for show and tell this morning a stalk of wheat and barley, no one would be able to tell the difference. It would just say, that's stuff that grows in fields, right? So bein chitim the sari, they're similar enough that nobody would be able to tell the difference, and therefore we assume it's a mistake and not a hakhasha. Okay, so from tomorrow morning we'll pick up at the two dots on the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day. Take care.